Hey team, and welcome to our Monday Night Misfit Republic team call. My name is Joelle Cease, and I have a special guest with me tonight with an amazing topic that you guys do not want to miss out on. I'm so grateful for those of you who are joining us live or catching the recording on the Misfit Republic podcast. And just before I introduce our guest speaker, I'm going to go over a couple things that I wanted to chat with you guys about. First off, we're halfway through the month of August. Like, this summer is flying by, thankfully, right? And I'm so, so excited for the end of this year. It doesn't matter what you did in the last few months. What matters is what you're focused on now and where you're going to end the year at. Do you have your phone on speaker racing?
I do.
Do you want to take it off for a second? There's a little echo.
Oh, sorry, dear.
Oh, no problem.
All right.
So we're going to end the year strong. And how you end the year strong is you make the choice to dedicate yourself to your business. Focus on who you have on your team, who you have on your prospect list. And Racine's going to go over some amazing tips for overcoming shyness and 6 keys of powerful communication. You guys, Success Club is not an end-of-the-month activity. I'm telling you that right now. I admire those of you who, like, make it happen on the last day of the month because that shows dedication, that shows focus, and that shows drive. But you know what? If everybody treated like today was the last day of the month, you would have Success Club in the bag by the 15th. And therefore, you can focus the rest of your month on serving those because Success Club is people. Success Club, it's not just about points. It's people. You can focus on serving those people, and you can focus on moving your business forward. And if you're a leader, helping your team also with their Success Club points. And we also have the Team Cup going on. And I don't know if you guys were on the National Wake Up Call this morning, but Jeff Hill has said that oftentimes what happens is people join a Team Cup team and they're super pumped and super excited in the beginning, and then mid-month people start falling off. Not Misfit Republic. We are going to treat this last half of August like it is the best time of the year to help people to work your business, hosting a challenge group. I mean, I have one starting on August 29th, you guys. So I'm inviting to that like crazy right now. And I encourage you guys to do the same. I know I always tell my personally sponsored coaches, if you don't have a start date for your challenge group or a purchase by date for your groups, it's like inviting people over to a barbecue and just saying like, hey, you guys should totally just come over to my house sometime and we'll grill. And people will not show up because you didn't give them the time, you didn't give them the place, you didn't give them the details or directions on how to get there. So set a date where you're going to start a challenge group and start inviting. And I wanted to give a congratulations once again. I know I posted about this in the groups yesterday to Jenny Ryerson and Nicole Holt. They are 2 coaches that are in the Core de Force test group. This is absolutely amazing, you guys. This program launches in November. We'll be able to get a sneak peek of it in Beachbody On Demand, so make sure you're a member of Beachbody On Demand to get the sneak peek of it. But we have 2 misfits. I don't know if there's any other teams that have 2 people in the test group. This is absolutely amazing. So we will be able to watch their transformations, and they can share as much as they can with us. I mean, they have rules and stuff that they have to follow by being in the test group because our programs are not just like thrown together by the master trainers and voila. Our programs are created by a whole team of people. Yes, the master trainers are the face of it. It's usually created by them because it is a passion of theirs and something that they, like a type of workout that they really love to do. But when it comes to creating the workouts, having a balanced type of workout program and the meal plan, there is a whole team of Beachbody professionals, like Harvard graduate, exercise science, kinesiology, best in the business of nutrition, working on these programs as well. So it's really cool that Nicole and Jenny get that opportunity. Super happy for them. So to talk about the woman of the hour tonight, Racine. Racine is one of my personally sponsored Diamond coaches. She will be Success Club All-Star this month, right, Racine?
Yes, yes.
Yes, Success Club All-Star this month because she has been a coach for about a year now. And a year ago, Racine and I were having a conversation via Zoom, and it was Racine, I, and her now husband, Tony. She just got married in June. So, like, her pictures from her wedding, you guys, are so beautiful. And she had asked me a question. And she asked when we were talking about coaching, because I was just strictly like, hey, I'll give you the information. It's up to you to decide if this is for you or not. And she asked me, okay, Joelle, you know, what is the time frame, I think you had asked? What's the time frame where I'll be making more than what I invested? And I said, I cannot answer that for you, Racine, because your income is a direct reflection of the people that you help. Racine joined with a Showcase Challenge Pack, so she chose the most expensive challenge pack. She also signed her now husband up as a coach. And in her first month as a coach, you guys, she earned a little over than $850 that month because she was helping people. She got to work. She stayed focused. And you made back what you invested in your first month as a coach and earned, which is absolutely amazing. And she has grown. Her team is killing it with Kelsey and Jennifer, right? Yes, they're killing it. I'm so proud of them. And one thing about Racine before I have her kind of tell her side of the story is names of people who you think would be great at this. I've been a coach for almost 6 years now, you guys. Racine was one of those people that I put on my list 6 years ago when I was a new coach. Racine and I went to college together. We went to the same college. And I always saw her, like, in the gym and running. And I think we had some, like, chemistry classes together and stuff. And so I just, like, knew of her. And so I added her as a friend on Facebook. And we, like, just got talking because we had a lot of things in common with health and fitness. And Racine was one of those people that was like, I was really scared to share this opportunity with her. I probably bombed the first time that I talked to you about
No.
But I did it. And you guys, I remember when I was a new coach and I was listening to a training call that another leader did, she talked about two things. She talked about recruiting up. Like, oftentimes we invite people that we're not necessarily, for lack of a better word, we don't invite people we're afraid of. We think to invite the people that it's kind of like a safe invite versus somebody who you recruit up. Somebody who's way smarter than you, way cooler than you, way more intelligent than you, somebody who scares you a little bit. Not that you scared me, Racine, but
none of those things.
You're so not scary. But I knew that Racine would just be an amazing, amazing coach. And I decided to invite her. And then five years later, she decided to join as a coach because that's when the timing was right for her. So and then the second thing was is like that the call that I went that I talked on or that I'm referring back to is that when you are recruiting, recruit up. Think of those people that you're like, oh, they probably wouldn't need this or they probably wouldn't do that because of XYZ. Racine is a doctor of physical therapy, and I was like, she's got all this education and experience. Like, when she reached out to me about coaching 5 years ago, I kind of was like, she's going to kind of laugh at this. But here she is today on the call with us sharing something she is super passionate, overcoming shyness, and 6 powerful keys for communication. Take
Absolutely.
It away, Rachel.
Joelle, I'm going to put this on speaker for one moment.
moment, and I want you to let me know if I'm echoing still. This is new house syndrome here, where our walls are not filled yet.
Cool. I'll let you know. If I mute
my
myself,
okay,
it should be good.
First off, as Joel mentioned, my name is Racine Shuring, and I want to thank Gorini. Jiminy Christ, it's Gorini. I'm not Shuring anymore.
I love that. I just have to laugh because I did that so many times when I introduced myself on TV.
Well, first off, I'm in the process of changing my last name, and so I went to change my driver's license, and I went just for a name change. And I changed it to Racine Gorini, but guess what I signed my name on my driver's license as? Racine Shuring, so they printed it as Racine Gorini, and I didn't catch it until my sister actually caught it, and she's like, Racine, you did not sign the correct name. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
Okay, so thank you for asking me to be on this call. I look back a lot from 5 years ago, you guys, and I remember when Joelle reached out to me, and I also remember thinking to myself, how amazing would this be? How cool would it be to help people get in shape and make some money at the same time? But for me, you guys, I could have created every excuse in the book. It just wasn't the right timing for me. I was trying to get into grad school. I was really dedicated to my schoolwork. You know, I was running. I was president of the exercise science club, teaching group X, classes, X, Y, and Z. Like I said, I'm good at creating excuses. So as Joelle mentioned, I have my doctorate of physical therapy, so you can tell I was far from a stranger to the health and fitness world. I've taught group exercise classes. I've taught running courses. I've run the Boston Marathon. So fitness is just something that I've just generally been passionate about my entire life, and this just seemed like the perfect opportunity for me. There was always some piece of the puzzle that was missing, and when I joined Beachbody, it kind of filled my puzzle, or completed my puzzle. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's so true, you guys. I always wanted to help other people, and the fact that we get to work on ourselves, help other people, and make an income off of this, it's kind of a no-brainer in my eyes. So I really wanted to talk with you guys tonight about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, because this is something that I've had to work on a lot over the years. And I will try and keep this short for you guys, but I hope you take out the pen and paper tonight. And I want you to picture yourself sitting in a room with me. You and I are just holding a conversation here. And I really want you to close your eyes throughout part of this presentation tonight and just truly listen to the words that I'm saying. I want to thank you all for being on the call tonight, but I really hope that you guys take some good nuggets out of this team call. So I kind of have two topics that I'm going to break this down into. And the first one is going to be how to overcome your shyness. Basically, how do you transform yourself to an extrovert? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide you with some practical things that you can implement into your life starting today. So there are a few different types of shyness, you guys. You can be shy in school, in business, in your dating life, or just in your social life with friends. So let's break it down. First thing is, it's all in your mind. This is a deeper idea, and you have to get it out of your mind that you're a shy person. You are not a shy person. You're someone who's been shy in the past. It does not mean that you have to be shy in the future or that you were, quote, unquote, born shy. You guys, that's not a real thing. It's dangerous to buy into the fact that you're a shy person, or that you're an extreme introvert, or that you cannot have success. You guys, I used to be an introvert myself, but I've made a ton of progress over the years. I've worked on my social skills, and this is totally a problem that you can handle. And tonight, I want to help you plant some of those seeds so you can grow. So what are some things that you can do yourself to start overcoming this shyness? You have to overcome your self-image. You have to overcome this idea that people are always looking at you. You're going to have to numb down through a process of progressive desensitization. You're going to have to numb yourself down to this idea that it's important what people really think of you. The problem is that you actually care too much about what people think of you. So maybe you stutter, maybe you shake, or you're always looking down. You don't go up and introduce yourself because you fear rejection. You're scared some people might laugh at you. And the fact is, that's something you've constructed in your own mind. I've had this to you guys, so don't feel like you're the only one or this is an unusual feeling. I want you to know this is totally normal. But the problem is you haven't gone in and numbed yourself down yet. What you have to do is put yourself out there. You have to build yourself up. So I do not recommend going and giving a speech in front of thousands of people. But maybe you go up and introduce yourself to someone. Maybe you start forming relationships. The beauty of our business is this isn't something that's going to come easy, but it's something that you have to do. You have to put yourself out there in order to grow yourself personally and professionally. So the whole issue really goes back to, why do you really care so much? You have to put yourself out there, and you have to try. So I recommend starting small. Once you start building a few relationships, then maybe you decide to do a Zoom call with maybe just 5 to 10 coaches. Then the next thing you know, you guys, you're going to be starting a YouTube channel. It's all about progress, and the only way to see progress is tracking. So worst case scenario is you get shut down. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to happen a lot. This happens a lot in our business, and you cannot let it make or break you. What is it? For every 10 people you reach out to, 8 or 9 of them are going to say no, and maybe 1 or 2 are going to say yes. You cannot take it personally, and you cannot let it beat yourself down. I remember the first time, I think it was actually the first person I reached out to, they said no to me, and I was devastated. I was like, what did I do wrong? Why don't they want to try this? This is absolutely amazing. But you guys, do not let it get yourself down. There are always going to be haters out there in regards to every aspect of your life, and you cannot let it get to you. If you define your values and your morals, you need to stick to them. So each time you're in an interaction, I challenge you. I challenge you to step outside of your comfort zone and do something in that interaction that you're going to eventually start opening up with. So I do have one little challenge for everybody in this group, and this is actually something that I've challenged myself and my husband to as well. And I'm going to call it the Break Your Shyness Challenge. So what I want you to do is I want you to go up to the cashier next time that you're at the grocery store. I want you to chat with them because usually, you know, they're pretty friendly. Most of the time they're bored, and, well, actually most of the time they have to be nice and friendly. So I challenge you to start a conversation with them. Ask them a question. Engage. Tell them something about yourself. What I've seen with most introverts is it's not that they actually ask a lot of questions, but they're so comfortable in their own skin and being expressive that they draw you in with their magnetism. So what they do is they actually talk a lot about themselves, and it's usually actually pretty stupid stuff that anybody who's an introvert would be like, why are they even talking about that? But as an extrovert, it's actually totally normal because they're so comfortable in their own skin. They don't have filters in place that introverts do. So you're checking out at the grocery store, right? Maybe you make a comment about what the clerk is wearing, or you comment about the Olympics or what was on television, whatever. And actually, you guys, it doesn't have to be all fine and dandy. Maybe you say, man, I just had a shitty day. And the other person, they're still going to respond in one way or another. You need to make this a habit. This is one of the best ways to break out of your shyness and just form new relationships by creating conversation. So there are many reasons to become an extrovert. You're going to start enjoying your relationships so much more, you guys, and you're going to start adding value to those relationships. You have to immerse yourself into groups and organizations, and you have to interact with other people. So I don't care what it is. Find a group, any group that has interest to you. Maybe start off with finding groups online. I know this is one thing that I did. Like, I love dogs, right? So I found a doggy group. I love dogs so much, it's just easy for me to talk about how much I love my dog, Zoe. So this isn't something that's challenging for me. So I'm starting to form relationships with other people that love dogs too and have that common interest. I'm not talking anything about Beachbody right now. I'm just forming relationships with these people who I have things in common with. So maybe you want to step it up a notch. Maybe those online groups are too isolated. Maybe you're rocking those online groups, but you challenge person-to-person interactions. So I challenge you to pick a group in your community. Find people in your community who have similar interests to you. So, like, for me, I love running. So I joined a running marathon training group. That forces me to actually engage with people face-to-face, people that I have common interests with. So maybe you're involved with Beachbody in your community. Find a few people. Meet up for coffee. Brainstorm ideas. Whatever you have to do, I challenge you to reach out online, but I also really challenge you guys to reach out to people one-on-one in person. So you really have to ask yourself, do you want to overcome shyness or do you want to be played the rest of your life? Because, you guys, it is going to hold you back in life with your relationships, school, work, and especially your business. And I don't want those areas of your life to be stifled. I want you to express who you are. You're going to be so much more happy and less self-conscious. You're going to be so much more relaxed, you guys, and life is just going to be so much more enjoyable. So just realize that it's going to take time. You just have to keep putting yourself out there, and it's going to get easier just a little bit at a time. So that's kind of my little nuts and bolts on shyness, and we're going to kind of transition now to the six keys of powerful communication. I got a lot of this information from Leo Gura from Master Your Psychology, and as I was going through this information, it just made sense. And I needed to find a way to present this information to you. And a lot of it, you guys are going to say, this is communication is just common sense. It's just something I get. But it's not, you guys. This is something you have to continue to grow yourself. So tonight I'm going to talk about ways to improve your communication skills and how you can become a good communicator. So why? Why is this even important? Communication skills, you guys, can actually ruin people's lives. They can ruin your relationships in work, running a business, and overall in life. Just having solid communication skills is important to help things run more smoothly. So say your client is purchasing a challenge pack from you. You have to give them clear instructions on how to place the order to assure that they're going to get exactly what they're expecting. You have to be able to clearly communicate with them. Otherwise, you're going to have an upset client and potentially lose their business in the future. So this is something you want to work on because this is something that's going to last your entire life. If you have terrible communication skills, you're going to have difficulties selling yourself and your products. And in order to excel in anything in life, you have to have good communication skills. So after we're done talking tonight, I really want you to pick out one or two of these pillars that we're going to talk about and figure out which one or two of these you really need to work on. So the six pillars are, pen and paper, please. Number one, assertiveness. Number two is authenticity. Number three is open-mindedness. Number four is empathy. Number five is clarity, and number six is listening. So assertiveness. Being assertive is important because when you're communicating, you guys, you're usually trying to get some kind of message across. You're usually trying to see some kind of outcome from the words you're speaking. And talking or verbalizing words is not the only form of communication. You need to remember your eyes, your body language, imagery, the tone of your voice. People are watching for all forms of communication, and hence the need to pay attention to not only the content of information you're sharing, but also how you're expressing it. So what is my tone saying about my message? Is my body language corresponding to the message I'm trying to send? Try and make sure that all forms of communication match up, because ultimately you're trying to convey some kind of message, have some kind of impact upon the person in which you're communicating with. So do you often find yourself getting off topic? I don't care if that's in person, on the phone, Facebook. Half the time, you guys, that's fine and dandy. But if you have a defined message to get across, you have to stick to your agenda and you have to stick to your guns. You have to be assertive, and you cannot be somebody's doormat. You have a voice, and you have the right to be heard. You have to know how to be confident in your delivery. Not only that, you have to know how to be insistent and persistent. So I know people, you guys, some friends of mine, who are really good at this. And I always found myself being kind of meek when I would interact with people. But this meekness can really hold you back, because if you want something really simple, but you won't get it because you're not clearly delivering your message. Sometimes you want something so simple, but you're just not being confident in the way that you're delivering the message. So, for example, say you go to a hotel, right? They don't have your room. Maybe they gave it to somebody else. What you could do is you could just shy away from the situation. Or what you could do is you could be assertive and persistent and do something about it. Maybe you ask for the manager to come out so you find a solution. You guys, you'd be surprised how often a spontaneous solution arises if you're just assertive in the situation instead of just shying away. So pillar number two is authenticity. Authenticity is critical. Authenticity is about being true to yourself. How often are you true to yourself in communication? If you're like most people, you tend to hold back because you want to be nice and courteous and polite because you don't want to offend anybody. You hold back because you want a smooth form of communication. We really don't worry about if we're being true to ourselves, and we don't really worry about if we're honoring our own morals and values. So to start off, you guys, you have to know what your morals and values are. You have to really know your authentic self. Then you have to be able to go out there and fight for it. So for most people, being authentic is not something that comes casually. This is something you have to work on, and you have to work really hard on it. Because we always have been taught and conditioned to be polite and just put a big smile on our face. And, you know, that can be fine and dandy in most situations, but in the long run, it does not work. People are going to see right through you. So when you're speaking with someone who's not authentic, you can usually see right through them, and typically you can feel it too. So their messages, they get diluted. They don't have the power that they were intending them to have because they're not being clearly delivered. So the other person doing the delivery, basically they're unfulfilled with him or herself, and they have this need to be unauthentic. So the moral of the story is with this pillar is just be true to yourself. Know your beliefs, because if you're not, your message is not going to be delivered. So in regards to Beachbody, how does this even relate? Let's say you're speaking to somebody about Shakeology, and you love the way it tastes, and it just gives you so much more energy, and your hair is actually growing. You guys, if you are not drinking Shakeology and you're telling somebody about how much you love it and all the positive effects it's having for you, shame on you. Shame on you. And just know, you might fool people tonight or tomorrow or whenever you're doing this just to make a sale, but know that when you do this, you're hurting your relationship with that person. You might have just formed this relationship and it started off with a lie. Are you being authentic? No, and eventually people are going to see right through you. So the moral of the story is know your morals and values and stick to them. So pillar number three is open-mindedness. You have to be open-minded when you're interacting with other people. Being open-minded means you're willing to consider all other perspectives, alternatives, scenarios, ideas. Don't close your mind down to other people's points of view. You'll come into contact with multiple people whose points of view are very different than your own, especially in regards to our business. So many times our gut reaction is just, no, that's not right. Something's wrong. This is clearly wrong. So you're judging and you're criticizing them. You're building up this wall between you and the other person or their ideas. So basically, there's no form of communication. It's all you're doing is being very grounded on that your point of view is not being open to other people's ideas. They're not going to want to communicate with you because, well, you're actually being really stubborn, and people are going to label you as that. And they're going to try and avoid you. People want to communicate with people who are willing to listen to them, not just in a superficial way, but in an honest and open-minded way. You need to be willing to entertain various ideas that are not your own. This is very critical to your own personal development, because if you aren't open-minded, you're hurting your communication skills, and ultimately you're limiting your own growth both personally and professionally. You have to have an open and receptive mindset. So again, let's tie all this back into Beachbody and your conversation. Let's say you're talking with someone who's totally against home workouts. Let's say they're a gym rat. They can't imagine getting a good workout in only 30 minutes because, as we all know, that's totally not possible. How do you respond to this? I'll be honest. This was me, and I get this a lot because the people that I hung out with were my gym friends. But now my mind has been completely transformed because I went into this with an open mind. And you guys, I've officially been gym membership free for over a year now. So pillar number four is empathy. Empathy is very important for communication. In fact, we as humans, we actually have these mirror neurons. So what they are is they're specialized neurons in our brain that actually allow us to have empathy for other human beings, even little creatures. So let's say, for example, you have a spouse or your friend, anybody. They're walking across the living room floor, and they stub their toe on a coffee table, right? So they stub their toe, and they go, oh, that hurts. I see that person stubbing their toe. You see that person stubbing their toe. And we feel their pain. I see her stuff her toe, so I'm feeling that pain. And what that is those are those mirror neurons in our brain. So those mirror neurons are allowing us to feel that pain. They're allowing us to experience those emotions that we would have felt if we were in that situation. So we feel the pain as if we were in that situation. Obviously, you know, not all the pain that that person's feeling, but just a little bit of it. So why is empathy so important for communication? Well, the other person wants to feel as if they're being heard. This empathy creates this common ground. Okay, she gets me. She understands where I'm coming from. Okay, she's just like me, and she can see where I'm coming from. It creates common grounds for communication. It creates this kind of cooperative dynamic. If you can't empathize for people, you don't understand their emotions. They're going to sense that off of you, and they're going to say, that girl doesn't know anything about me. She doesn't know any of my problems and my challenges, so how can I listen to her? Her message is not going to resonate with me because her experiences are totally different than mine. So you need to work on building common grounds with people. Empathy is going to get you far in your relationship. Pillar number five is clarity. Communication needs to be clear. I can't remember this from my college psychology classes. Oh, my goodness, I feel like it's been so long. But you know that idea, communication is not what you meant to say, but rather how the other person heard it or perceived it or received it. So a lot of times we think we said something, but then the other person will hear our words differently or they'll do something else other than what we intended on them to do. So basically what I'm trying to say is it doesn't really matter what you said or what you intended to say. It matters how it sounded to the other person or how they interpreted the information. So the best form of communication is going to be clear and accurate. It's easy for other people to understand, you guys. It's not gray or foggy, and it's not abstract, which allows for many, many types of interpretation. If you're not clear in your communication, then people are not going to, they're not going to understand or do what you intend for them to do. This can create a ton of problems in all aspects of your life. So clarity is something that you need to work on if you have problems with people perceiving what you're telling them, and maybe it's not them, but it's actually you because you're not articulating what you're trying to tell them. All right, and last but not least, pillar number six is listening. So in communication, just talking and talking, it doesn't really get you anywhere unless you hear back. Like I said before, people want to feel like they're being understood, like they're being listened to. They don't just want to be talked about or talked to. It isn't about opening your ears, but you have to let people know that they're being heard. So this is actually really simple to do, you guys. Just be an active listener. What does that mean? Nod your head. Oh, yeah, interesting point. Ask them questions. Clarify questions about what was being said. Engage yourself. All of these are very critical to communicate with people and let them know that they're actually being heard and not just talked to. All right, so now the big question. Which one of these six, out of all six of these pillars, which one or two do you really feel like you're holding back on? Which one of these is causing the most friction in your communication? So I challenge you all to pick one or two of these six pillars out and really focus on these over the next 60 to 90 days. And the best way to improve, you guys, is to practice, practice, practice. I don't care where you go. I can't count the number of times I've filmed videos, refilmed videos, just because I didn't like the tone of voice I had. Was the tone of voice matching the gestures in my hands? Or I'll speak to myself in a mirror. When I go out to the grocery store, you guys, I don't remember the last time that I did not engage in a conversation with the cashier. It's the little things that you do now that are going to add up. So you have to interact with people, and you have to get better at it. So like I said at the beginning of this, I think a lot of you kind of laugh at this topic of communication, and you think, oh, it's just something that comes so naturally. But you guys, it's really not. Communication is something that you need to continue to work on in order to grow yourself personally and professionally. So I really, truly want to thank Joelle for asking me to come on to this team call tonight, and I hope you all found some important nuggets, and I hope you all took a ton of notes. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns about anything I talked about tonight, please do not be scared to reach out to Joelle or myself.
And I'll also throw up in the group the team call takeaways, and we can chat about them there. I can definitely say for myself, you guys, assertiveness was the area of communication where I held back for the longest time. You know, when people would say an objection like, I don't have the time or I don't have the money, and it was, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, after Summit on the National Wake Up Call, Carl, our CEO, talked about how when somebody gives you an objection, you shouldn't just back down. Most people are like, oh, I don't have time to do that. And as coaches, we say, oh, that's okay. Or I think that's kind of, it's kind of like that, like, oh, Midwest nice, or I don't know. But you don't want to keep pushing them because you think they'll perceive you in the wrong way. But being assertive and keeping moving the conversation forward isn't necessarily a yucky bad thing, because you can bring them back and say, okay, well, you say you don't have time to do the 30-minute workouts, but you're saying you have no energy, you're not, like, feeling very good, or, like, you can't keep up with your kids. Those are things that you told me. You know, why not invest 30 minutes in your health? You'll notice you have more energy, you'll feel better, and therefore have more time and energy to devote to your family. You can continue to move forward from objections.
Mm-hmm.
And then
one of my biggest things too is when somebody tells me they don't have the money for Shakeology, and don't get me wrong, I truly do understand this. But what really gets to me is then you see all these photos of McDonald's drinks, Shakeology drink, or excuse me, Starbucks drinks. What I like to do is you have to be sensitive about the way you're communicating with people too. But I often find graphics that compare the two and let them know that it is an option. Or I'll do a financial challenge where I'll allow people to come into one of my groups. And what I'll have them do is I'll track their receipts for a month. I challenge them to track all their receipts and see where there was extra spending done. Maybe they stopped at the gas station on the way home and grabbed a Diet Coke, or maybe they swung into Starbucks. All of those things add up throughout the month, you guys, and I will admit, until I did this, until we actually sat down and tracked our receipts, you will be surprised where your money slips away. So you might not make that sale tonight, but challenge people to track their receipts and actually see where their money goes. People will be surprised.
Yeah, Absolutely. And did you have the British guy for your psychology class?
I don't remember. Actually, I think we did. I did.
I was going to say, because when you said that quote, it clicked a British accent, and I was like,
what,
I wonder if she
what
has
was
British.
It? It's like classic. It's not classical idea. It's classic something. I couldn't remember.
Classic applied psychology or something like that. And
yeah.
I can just picture going back to our North Coast State University days, guys. Like, we had a
yes.
British psychology
yes.
teacher. And I fell in love with psychology because of his accent.
Oh. I actually utilized this the other night because I said something and Tony responded completely different. And initially I would have responded, no, you're completely wrong. That's not what I said. But I really took a step back and I said to myself, wow, it's not what I said, but my tone of voice didn't match up with what I said and it's not how he perceived it. So it doesn't matter what I meant to say, but it's all about how he actually interpreted it.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. And you can ask questions like how you like to determine if your communication in coaching is being perceived. You can ask questions whether it's your personally sponsored coaches or your challengers, like, does that make sense? Or did
mm-hmm.
I make that clear? Or you know, oftentimes after I've given somebody a presentation recording, I'll ask them, like, okay, did you understand what the three things that we do as coaches? And if they can answer it back, then great, we got the communication right. But if they're like, oh, well, you sell shakes. And I'm like, okay, wait, we got to go back. So asking questions can really help.
Absolutely.
Determining, like, okay, did we get that perceived right, not just communicated it correctly?
The one other area, and this will be my last little tidbit, that I see this happen a lot is the clarity aspect. You need to be clear, especially when you're communicating with people on anything that involves money, especially, because money is a sensitive thing. What's a dollar to one person is completely different, the value of it to the next person. So when you're selling a challenge pack, a product, anything, you need to make sure that you're clearly communicating the steps with the person that is purchasing a product, a challenge pack, signing up with a coach. I don't care if it seems so bare basic to you because you've done it so many times. You'll be surprised about how many people actually end up ordering the wrong product because you did not give them clear instructions on how to order. So there's a website where you can actually link it directly to the product that you want to send them to, or what I'll often do is I'll write out step one, click this website. Step two, click the shop button. It doesn't get any more basic than that. So just make sure you have clear instructions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Okay, guys, I'll post a picture of Team Call Takeaways. I'd love to hear yours. The recording will be up on the groups and in the Misfit Republic podcast by tomorrow afternoon. And I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Hit Success Club by the end of this week, guys. Then you won't be worried about it the rest of the month and have to work on the last day, because Success Club is not a last day of the month activity. Make it a good week, coaches.
Bye now.